We're nearly to the end of our series on how to develop and maintain a friendship with God. We just have one more week left after tonight. In this series, we've been looking at what it takes to be good friends with the one who created you, loves you, and longs to draw you deeper into his friendship. Like any good friend, God walks by your side every day, cheering you on, celebrating the good times with you, and encouraging you to be your best self in every situation. And if you're hurting or broken or feeling discouraged, God wants to walk alongside with you on the way to healing, wholeness, and better days ahead. But as we've been saying throughout this series, if you want that, if you want God to be your friend, there are certain things that you have to be willing to do. First, you have to be willing, when it's necessary, to make amends to God when you've maybe done something to, you know, damage the relationship. Every time we do something like that, God goes to work trying to restore the friendship. And I just think we ought to try to meet him halfway. And the best way to do that is by regularly and humbly acknowledging our sins and failures and shortcomings. It's not a guilt trip. God already knows it anyway. It's not a guilt trip. It's a good thing. It's a healthy thing. That's why we do it at the beginning of every Mass. Second, you have to be willing to trust God. The more you trust him as your friend, the more you can approach life with confidence. Third, you have to be willing to take seriously what God takes seriously, to make his interests your interests. And as we said 2 weeks ago, God's main interest, his first priority, is making new friends for him. And that means that sometimes you have to be what we've been calling a God friend to someone else, you know, bringing the light, love, goodness, and joy of God into that relationship so that they also can become good friends with God. And then last week we said you have to be willing to let the Lord lighten your load, you know, and walk alongside you and help you carry your burdens. Whatever problem is pressing on your heart, mind, and soul right now, your friend Jesus wants to be there with you, helping you carry that burden and giving you rest. Well, that's what we've talked about up to now in the series. And tonight we're going to look at one more important quality of having a good friendship with God. And to begin, we're going to be looking at the definition of friendship in the ancient world where Jesus lived. Back then, friendship was taken very, very seriously. The Greek and Roman philosophers, ancient Greek and Roman philosophers, wrote a lot about this. They identified friendship as one of the critical social relationships of great importance. And while you and I today, we enjoy our friends, we spend time with our friends, we eat and drink with our friends, we sometimes vacation with our friends, we even watch TV shows about friends, friendship in those days was also considered, get this, a grave moral obligation. For one thing, you were expected to be willing to die for anyone that you called a friend. That's why Jesus said to his disciples once, he said, "No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends." And that's exactly what Jesus did. He called his disciples, and he calls you and me his friends. And he laid down his life. But there was also a second important quality of friendship that the ancient philosophers wrote about. And that's what I want to talk with you about tonight. It's called parrhesia in Greek, or frankness of speech. If you were a true friend, you would always speak openly and honestly with your friend, holding nothing back. This trait was so important that Plutarch, one of the ancient philosophers, wrote a classic piece about how to tell a friend from a flatterer. It was a thing back in those days. A lot of philosophers wrote about that. Real friendship, he said, is marked by plain talk and heart-to-heart sharing. A true friend hides nothing. And even today, good friends, right? You probably share things with your good friends that you most likely wouldn't share with other people. Good friends confide in each other, and they entrust their hearts to one another. In fact, don't we call our closest friends confidants, right? Which literally means to place your confidence in someone you trust like a good friend. Someone you trust with your most private matters, your most private information. So, good friends always speak honestly to each other. They share everything with each other, and they keep confidences. Jesus called his disciples his friends because he shared private information with them. What was this private information? It was the hidden truths of God. Jesus spoke openly and honestly about the mysteries of God with his friends and held nothing back. How do we know this? In John chapter 15, verse 15, he says this, "I have called you friends because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father." And he didn't do that with everyone. Let me unpack that a little bit for you by let's take a look at the gospel passage for tonight. In the gospel story tonight, Jesus tells a pretty simple tale. And we've probably heard it, if you've been around church or you've even have a passing knowledge of Jesus, you've probably heard this parable before. It's called the sower of the seed. Here's what he says. Let's run through it just really quickly. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and birds came up and ate it. Some fell on rocky ground where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep. And when the sun rose, it was scorched and it withered for lack of roots. And then some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced a lot of good fruit. A lot of good fruit. Well, today, like I said, you've probably heard this parable and you probably basically understand it, right? I mean, it's not all that complicated. The sower of the seed is Jesus. The seed is his word. And the various soils in which the seed is planted represent people's response, different responses to that word. Some hear the word, but do not understand it at all. And that's like the seed that fell on the path eaten by the birds. Some people hear the word, sort of understand the word, get really excited about the word, and claim that they're on board, only to fall off later when they get bored. That's like the seed that fell on rocky ground. It didn't have enough roots. Some people hear the word and understand the word, but do not follow the word because of worldly concerns like wealth and power. That's the seed that falls among thorns. It is only the true followers of Jesus, the rich soil, who hear the word, understand the word, apply it in their lives, and put their faith into action. That's basically the meaning of the parable. And it probably seems pretty clear to you. But here's the point I'm making. Back then, many people in the crowd would not have understood this parable. That's why at the end, Jesus says, "Whoever has ears ought to hear." Why would they not understand this parable? Well, it has to do with what a parable is. A parable is a cryptic story. Emphasis on cryptic. A parable usually contained confusing metaphors, symbols, and allusions. Why? To illuminate truths that were not obvious and would only be understood by people who heard the parable and whose hearts and minds were open to it and wanted to understand it. A parable was only meant to clarify truths for people who really had an open mind about it. And many in the crowd that day did not. Why? Jesus was well aware of the mounting division between people who were accepting him and his teachings and those who were not. And that growing division prompted Jesus to change suddenly his teaching style. Up until now, he taught the crowds in a rather straightforward manner, you know, just very clear. But in chapter 13 of the Gospel of Matthew, because of this growing division, he suddenly switches to speaking, quote unquote, at length in parables. So much so that his disciples ask him, Lord, why are you speaking to the crowds in parables? In other words, they're not going to get this. They're not understanding. Why do you speak to them in parables? And his answer was surprising and shocking. He says, because knowledge of the mysteries of God has been granted to you, but not to them. Wow. This is all in the longer version of this passage that we didn't actually read at Gospel. If you want to see the whole version, go home and read it. But that doesn't sound like the Jesus we know, right? I mean, it doesn't sound very fair at all. Why would Jesus, who loved everyone he came across and wanted everybody to be saved, discriminate between his inner circle of close friends and everyone else? It just didn't make sense. But then he gives us the answer. He says, I speak to them in parables because they look but do not see, and they hear but do not listen or understand. You see, here again, it's all about the parable. Parables had two purposes. The first was to illuminate truths, hidden truths, for friends. Reveal hidden truths to friends, but conceal them from enemies. For friends and people who accepted Jesus and his teachings, and anyone else who was basically open, interested, and did not prejudge the parable, parables would be enlightening. They clarified truths, and they unlocked hidden mysteries about God. But for enemies and people who did not accept Jesus and his teachings, and for others who were just too pompous, ignorant, or lazy to try to understand the parable or even to care about the parable, parables were intentionally confusing. They obscured truth and kept secret veiled mysteries. In contrast, Jesus' disciples were blessed with the knowledge of the mysteries of God because they were truly open to it. They truly wanted to hear, see, and understand. And because of that, Jesus shared everything with them like a good friend. And because that's what good friends do, that's why Jesus called them friends. So, what's the lesson in that for us? Well, I think there's two things for tonight. First, if you want to grow in your friendship with God, share everything with him. Share everything with him. Tell God your innermost thoughts and try to hold nothing back in prayer. You know, human friends are fallible, and sometimes we misplace our trust in them, don't we? But God is completely trustworthy. And he would never betray you or disclose your confidences. But he wants to hear it all. You have to be honest. A few months ago, I had dinner with a friend. He's a young man in his 40s. I call that young these days. And we were talking, somehow we were talking about prayer. And I basically asked him about his prayer life. And he said, well, Father, I pray every day. I pray at Mass on Sundays, and then I pray every day outside of Mass. And my family, we say, you know, he has three little kids, and we say grace before meals. I said, that's good. He said, I pray in the morning when I wake up, and I pray at night before I go to bed, and I try to find a little quiet time in the middle of the day to be alone with God. I said, that's all great. And then he said, but Father, sometimes I don't tell God everything. I asked, why not? He said, because sometimes I don't want to hear the answer. I don't want to hear the answer. I think a lot of times people are tempted when they're dealing with a problem or a dilemma or a struggle in their life for which there are many different possible solutions, and some are harder than others, they are tempted to withhold information from their friends because they don't want to hear the advice that they deep down know they need to hear. And maybe you're a little bit like that. Maybe you've done that. I know I have a lot, right? I have done this. I have not wanted to disclose everything to God, which is stupid because he knows everything anyway, but I've not wanted to disclose everything to God because I was afraid of hearing the wise counsel that might be too inconvenient or require a sacrifice that I was not willing to make. I kind of did that for 20 years with priesthood. It was sort of like a staring contest between me and God, and I blinked first, but it took a long time. But, you know, when you don't tell God everything, and we don't tell any, if you don't tell any kind of friend everything, it damages the relationship. And it's the same with God. God is a friend and he wants to know everything. He knows it anyway, as I've said, but he wants to hear it from you because it's good for the relationship. He wants to know your struggles and your fears and your worries. He wants to know your predicaments and your dilemmas. He wants to know your sins and your failings and your shortcomings. He wants to know it all. And if you share it with him, you'll grow in your friendship with him. Second, if you want to grow in your friendship with God, not only share your private information with him, but ask him to share his information with you, the hidden truths of God, the truths of God that are just not always obvious and known to everyone. God is such a mystery, and there is so much more to know than what we learn here at Mass. I mean, Mass is the greatest prayer ever, of course. But there is so much more to learn and to know. And it will improve your relationship with God. One simple, easy way to start on that, if you haven't already, if you don't do this already, is consider reading the Bible every day. Scripture is inexhaustible in the wisdom that it has for us. You can read a passage from the Bible many times, and every time you read it, you will learn something new. God will put something else on your heart. And if you don't know where to start, just start somewhere. Start somewhere. I always tell people to start reading one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and just start with chapter one and just read a paragraph a night. Just one paragraph. It'll take you 2 minutes. And then spend another 3 to 7 minutes asking God to sort of, you know, help you reflect on that and how you can apply it in your life and what it means to you. And you'll be surprised at how much you grow in your relationship with God. You can't fulfill a mission unless you know the mission. You can't follow orders unless you know the orders that you have to follow. In the gospel, in the first reading today, God says, "My word goes forth from my mouth and will not return to me void." But God's word will not be effective, will not ever be effective, and will return to him void if no one knows the word. Jesus disclosed everything to his disciples to get them ready, battle ready for life. And the more you know about God, the closer you will feel with him, and the more you will walk in this world with confidence. Bottom line, the more you share about yourself with God, your friend, the more he will share with you.